Funding for Smart Talk is provided by Capital Blue Cross. For 80 years, Capital Blue Cross has offered products that provide peace of mind and promote good health, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Health and Wellness Centers that provide in-person service and inspire healthy living. Capital Blue Cross is behind you for whatever lies ahead. More information is at capbluecross.com. Capital Blue Cross. Live fearless. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC Pinnacle, bringing quality care to your community through Harrisburg, Community Osteopathic, West Shore, Carlisle, Hanover, Lancaster, Lititz, and Memorial Hospitals. More information is available at upmcpinnacle.com.
Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Are more copycats making threats to schools, or are schools and police being more vigilant since the mass shooting at Parkland High School in Florida last week that left 17 dead? Either way, schools throughout Pennsylvania and the country have been threatened with violence in the last week. The Central York School District in York County has been closed most of this week. In fact, 3 days this week, including today, after threats that were taken very seriously ended up closing down schools. Harrisburg schools are closed today after a threat. Besides the schools that have actually been threatened, rumors of threats and violence were spread on social media. What's going on, and how have schools, parents, and police responded? Joining us is WITF reporter Brett Schultes, who has been reporting on this all week. Brett, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
If you have a question or a comment, 1-800-729-7532, or send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. I have to say that, in particular, we'd like to hear from parents and whether you've considered keeping your children home from school, or maybe you have done that. 1-800-729-7532, or again, send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. So, Brett, you have been reporting on this for most of the past week. The broad question is, why the increase? What are we seeing? How broad of a scope is this that it's happening across the state and across the country?
Yeah. I called Pennsylvania State Police this morning to get an update, and I know that at least in our South Central PA area here, there have been around a dozen reported incidents, according to state police. And I had to pose the same question because I came into this wondering, are we seeing more threats, or are we just more responsive to perceived threats? And I think state police's answer on that is, hey, we always take threats seriously, and we can't exactly say why it's happening now, but obviously the timing of it is that after the Parkland, Florida shooting, we have seen an actual increase in things that we would consider to be direct threats against schools.
In fact, you spoke with State Police Trooper Brent Miller on just that question, why the increased number of threats.
I don't think there's a particular rhyme or reason to these. I just know with social media and the other forms of communication out there, it seems that there has been somewhat of an increase with threats going on at schools.
Have most of the threats been made via social media?
Yes. Yeah, that's where that's been the main format for this. Now, and to be fair to police in there, as they're moving forward with investigations, they can't always provide the level of detail that I would hope to get. But in most instances, it's been made clear that, for example, the threat to, there have been so many that I'm getting them, starting to get them mixed up in my mind. But I think this was one of the ones in Dauphin County where a teen, I think it was a ninth grader, posted on Instagram, basically just made a comment that said, hey, I hate everyone at my school and I wish that they would all just disappear. And it was associated with a photo. The content of the photo I haven't been able to see yet or get yet. They're kind of holding that as part of the investigation. But, I mean, to me, that kind of speaks to how seriously police are taking threats, because when I listen to the content of that, of those two sentences, I mean, it's whoever posted that is stopping short of saying, you know,
I'm going to do something.
Right, right. But, and again, we don't know the whole story in that case, because whatever that photo contained could have revealed something else.
So was that ninth grader, just to clarify, was that ninth grader arrested?
Well, there's a difference between the arrested and charged. I know
for juveniles, yes.
Sure. I know that charges were filed against that minor, against that teen. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So as I mentioned, Central York has been the school district that where it seems that the threats, I don't know, they could be more, I don't want to say taken more seriously, because as you said, state police and police take every one of these threats seriously, but to the point where they felt that the threats, or there could be something to them, that schools have been closed for 3 days this week, Wednesday through today. Do you have any idea of what was behind those threats?
Well, we know that it was something that was posted on social media, and that we know that the person who posted the origin of those threats is still someone that police are trying to track down. I can't speak to the content of them because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get into too much of the rumors that I've heard online. I'm just kind of going with what I know for sure. But whatever it was enough to warrant this concern. And really, police's approach has been to basically keep, police and the school district has been to keep the school closed down while police continue to push parents and the community to give up whoever is behind this tip. So they have been, the police have been just repeatedly making entreaties, multiple press conferences each day saying, you know, whoever knows something about this needs to come forward because we need to resolve this. And, you know, eventually we do have to reopen the school, but we're going to hold off on that.
So the police and the officials in the schools, obviously they can't provide too many details because they don't want copycats out there. But you went to the press conference the other day, and Central York, the district attorney, the police chief at Springinsbury Township, the superintendent of schools, all three have been at numerous press conferences since Wednesday. But did they give you any kind of sense of as to what kind of threats were made? Again, I know they can't provide too much information, but did they say why they took these threats seriously?
They really didn't. And, you know, it really speaks to what I have a broader question about, which is going to be what's going to be the long-term response to threats like this, because here we have a threat that was able to close down school for at least 3 days. A 20-person investigation has been launched, including a state and a unnamed federal agency. But eventually school's going to reopen, and what happens when the next threat comes in? I think that the school district is trying to address that. I know they're having a town hall meeting on the 28th, but you know, eventually they're going to have to come up with a longer-term solution. Otherwise, this kind of thing could continue to derail school.
All right. So speaking of those longer-term solutions, you also spoke with a first-grade teacher in the Central York School District, Barb Harcourt. Here's what she had to say when you asked her about what are some of the solutions or what can be done to stop this.
And there's so many arguments for gun control or, you know, mental health or parent control, I think it's a combination, you know.
A lot of people have said, you know, like you could put like metal detectors at the front of schools.
I know.
Is that something that would put your mind at ease at all, or would that feel strange to you?
I think both. I think I'd feel strange, but then walking through, I'd feel safe.
Some people have fought for arming teachers.
Oh, I'm not for that. There are other teachers that feel differently, but...
So she kind of ticked down the list of some of the suggestions that are being made to keep schools safer. Are those things being considered in Central York and other districts across the state?
Well, I touched base with the Pennsylvania, boy, I'm going to screw this name up. It's like the Pennsylvania State Educators Association. It's basically a large teachers union, and they, along with a lot of with the national course corollary there, the one thing I can say they don't support is arming teachers. That has been something that on the state level, the spokesman there spoke very emphatically about, said, we've asked teachers, we've done surveys, and we've also looked at a lot of research that came out of Sandy Hook and spoke with teachers who'd actually been at Sandy Hook, who said, in short, teachers, their job is to teach. They're not trained to successfully use firearms. They're not a police force. And of course, as that teacher indicated right there, there will always be those who, you know, believe themselves to be qualified to do that and who are an exception. So that said, the teachers union has taken a very overt stance on that, which is that we're pushing for increased security. We're not pushing for any efforts to make it easier to arm teachers themselves.
Yeah, PSEA, Pennsylvania State Education Association, the state's largest teachers union. I actually have a call out to try to get them, you know, someone on the air to talk about this. This is going to be an ongoing conversation because obviously right now this is front and center, big issue that most Americans are focused on and talking about right now. So, in fact, coming up on Monday, I have an education history professor from the University of Pennsylvania who's done research talking about how there have been precedents set of students that have made demands and gotten changes. There are many students across this country right now making demands to do something about the gun laws and to make schools safer. So that will be coming up on Monday. Let's take a few phone calls here. Jessica is in Lebanon. Jessica, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm a parent and of a junior at Cedar Crest High School. And there was supposedly there was an incident this week. This has not been corroborated by any administration. It's just something that my child came home and shared with me. But they were checking into it, and that's something that seemed very credible by the information that I got. But when I heard this morning on the news about the different schools, I actually heard it on WITF. I listen every morning.
Well, that's good.
When they talked about the local schools and all the different things that are happening, one of the incidences that they said are under investigation is there was a young man who posted on social media that he hated the school and wished everyone would disappear.
Right.
I personally sat there and went, you've got to be kidding. How many of us have said things like that? How many of us have gone to work and been like, oh, I hate my boss. I just wish he would go. I wish I had somebody else that could come in and take his place. I wish we could get rid of him. Things like that. I think we're getting to the point where there is a fine line. I understand that. But there are some things that just don't seem credible to me to have charges brought up against a child for something simple like saying, I hate it here and I wish they would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to say, I hate the people here and I'm going to shoot them all, or I want to kill them all, or things like that. That to me makes sense that it would be credible. But at what point do we say, just to simply say, I dislike something and I just wish it was gone, does that make it credible enough to have federal charges brought against that person when that's going to be an investigation and it's going to take time to make him exonerate him? And at what point are people not going to say, well, yeah, I know they exonerated him, but you know what he said?
Well, Jessica,
the kid simply said something minor.
I think you asked one of the key questions. Thank you very much for your call. She did, and she kind of went back to what you were talking about earlier, Brett, and I'll ask that question again. Is it that there are, obviously there are more threats, but is it that, you know, police, school officials, everyone is taking this much more seriously after Parkland?
Right. And again, we don't know what the content of that photo was. So I am kind of giving, you know, police the benefit of the doubt there. But certainly that struck me as similarly to what she said. You know, I think it's important to remember the context for this. There were numerous tips ahead of the Parkland shooting that reached the federal level. And now police and law enforcement across the country are probably looking at that and going, we don't want that to happen again. We don't want to be the agency that drops the ball. And my thing is, how can they continue that pace or that heightened alert in the long term? So eventually this is going to have to give way to a longer term change, or it won't. I mean, if precedent is any indicator, we've had so many school shootings and oftentimes things just basically revert back to the way they had been.
Well, you know, that's a really good point, because we know that many times now Parkland is a unique situation in that there were so many signs out there and so many people missed it along the way. And we do know that there are people over the years that have said, well, you know, I suspected something, but I was afraid to call it in because it's no big deal. I can't see so-and-so doing something like
right.
this.
But there were also people who did call
right.
it in.
That's right. That's right. I mean, with this, with Cruz
yeah.
in particular, I mean, there were people who called. One guy in particular called in and said, you know, I'm concerned about this, and it was never passed up the chain at the FBI.
Yeah.
I mean, then it came out yesterday about the resorts officer at the high school who didn't go in
right.
after he heard the shooting.
Well, and to me, that just really speaks to how difficult it is to actually respond to a threat of violence with more force. And I think that, you know, if you speak to people in the military and police community, as I certainly have, they'll speak to just, you know, simply handing someone a firearm doesn't make them a trained officer who can respond to a threat. And a lot of training goes into simply getting police or military officers up to the point where they aren't posing additional threats by being a safety hazard to themselves or to others, you know, not properly using that firearm. So I think there's a lot that goes into it.
I'm going to take more phone calls in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar.
Smart Talk is supported by Capital Blue Cross, providing health care coverage accepted by doctors and specialists in all 50 states. More information is available at capbluecross.com. Capital Blue Cross, live fearless. Smart Talk is also supported by Pinnacle Health Spine Institute, part of UPMC Pinnacle, offering a complete range of services to diagnose and treat your spine condition. More information is available at upmcpinnacle.com/spine.
Welcome back to Smart Talk. WITF reporter Brett Shouldis is with us during this portion of the program. Brett has been investigating and has reported this week on the number of threats made against schools across Pennsylvania and here in the mid-state since the shooting in Parkland, Florida last week. NPR did a story yesterday where they said that across the country there has been an average of 50 threats per day since the Parkland shooting. And again, some of those have been here in Pennsylvania. We have a lot of phone calls coming in. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Let's go to Jean in Columbia. Jean, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I had two things to say. First of all, regarding guns, I know this wouldn't have helped in Florida, but we need to make adults responsible for making sure their guns are secured. Not the little locks that clip on the trigger locks. If you want to know if your locks are childproof, give them to a bunch of kids and set $5 to the first kid that opens them. You'd be amazed. Second of all, and far more importantly, is we need to put a stop to bullying and psychological abuse and all that. We were all kids. We all know how cool kids can be. This needs to be addressed in the elementary age kids. We also need to be going back, like in Harrisburg, there was a problem with kindergartners, I believe it was, being violent in that. This goes back to the homes.
All right, Jean, thank you very much for your call. We don't have a real good signal there. But let me go back to her second point there. I mean, as far as gun security, that's the first point, and I think that most people can agree that the adults that do own guns, gun owners, do need to keep them secure. She's right. It wouldn't have made a difference in the Florida shooting because Cruz bought the gun on his own. But going to her second point about bullying, do we have any research or do we know how often bullying is involved in these threats being made?
Well, specifically related to mass shootings, unfortunately, we have very little research, and that's partly because the CDC's research efforts have been hobbled by, you know, in part by the, to my understanding, the firearms lobby. And in conjunction with the federal government.
Well, yeah, they actually passed a law in Congress that said that the federal government could not study handgun violence or gun violence.
Right.
And so that has been one of the issues. I mean, there are other researchers out there, but you know, you would think that having the federal government, the CDC, and all the branches of the federal government that could investigate, that that would be a big help in this.
Right. Well, and I think few people could doubt the role that bullying might play in some incidents of violence. The thing is, you know, every time one of these shootings happens, it's like we go back and sort of pick it apart and then try to come up with a solution that then becomes irrelevant the next time. Okay, the incident in Las Vegas, so let's ban bump stocks. Okay, well, bump stock wasn't used in this case. Okay, so we need to increase the age. But of course, you go back to so many other shootings, Aurora, et cetera, that person would have been able to buy those firearms. He was over that age. So it really, you know, as our teacher there said that you used that recorded clip earlier, you know, there are so many aspects to it, and it's probably going to have to be a combination of things. And I think at some point it's also going to take willingness on the part of legislators to seriously look at some restrictions to, you know, current gun laws.
Let's take a call from Dion in Harrisburg. Dion, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
I am calling as a parent and an educator. My daughter is a sophomore in the Susquehanna Township School District, and they had received a threat through social media. And the school district decided to allow students, if they wanted to, stay home, and it would be an excused absence on Wednesday. So I did keep my daughter home. Thursday, I planned on sending her to school, but I saw how she was moving around really slow in the morning, and she mentioned to me that she still did not feel comfortable going to school. So as a parent, I allowed her to stay home a second day, and I called the guidance counselor to ask her when I send her to school on Friday, could she come in and talk to her? And, of course, she said, absolutely. And my daughter, she was at an age during Sandy Hook where it really didn't impact her. But now that she is a sophomore and with the incident in Florida, it has greatly impacted her to the point that she does not want to walk the halls alone by herself. And when they received the social media threat, she had indicated to me that she had just started feeling a little bit better about being in the halls by herself. So the social media threat, I totally understand that anything out there, I would much rather err on the side of caution. But now it seems like it's going to come to a point where some students may say, hey, want to know how we can get out of school for a couple of days? And they just may put something out there, with no intentions at all, but putting it out there. But again, I would rather err on the side of caution than not.
Dion, I'm glad you called in. You probably have made a lot of other parents think about it, too. Thank you very much for your call. She raised some great points.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's that. I think that represents what a lot of parents have probably been thinking. The thing is, again, we need to go back. And one thing I think we should look for is what comes out of that town hall meeting in Central York School District, because eventually a long-term plan will have to emerge to address repeat incidents of these same types of threats. They can't keep closing school down every time they get one.
Sherry is in Union Township. Sherry, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. You've got some great callers and great comments today.
Thank you.
I did want to echo, I believe it was Jean, who talked about keeping guns safe at home. We know that the majority of school shootings are done by guns that kids have gotten from their own homes. And even though it seems like, of course, people are going to secure their guns, a lot of people don't. And this is key. Guns need to be secured safely at home. I would just like to put a plug in. If anybody would like to organize a presentation in their house of worship, for their school district, for Boy Scout troops, there's a group, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. That's Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. They have presentations where they model how to have conversations about storing guns and take away any kind of uncomfortableness that there might be about asking how guns are secured in grandparents' homes, in the relatives' homes, in friends' homes. So that is really, really an important piece of this puzzle. I'd also like to mention, we all want to keep kids safe around guns. And I would also just note that there's some really great legislation sitting right now in the Judiciary Committee of our state Senate. It's Senate Bill 501. It would take guns away from domestic abusers and keep kids safe in their homes. So that's another way we can keep kids safe. It's still in the Judiciary Committee. I would urge all your listeners who want to keep kids safe around guns to call their state senator and ask them to move forward on Senate Bill 501.
Thank you very much for your call. And again, she anticipated another future show that I want to do here on Smart Talk. We will be talking about guns very often here in the near future, but having to do with possession of firearms by those who are accused of committing domestic violence. But again, getting back to her point, Brett, about the security. As you have mentioned, not all of these cases are the same. In fact, one of the things that makes it so difficult is every single school shooting seems to have a difference. I think Sandy Hook, there was a case where the man who committed the crime, who went in and killed all those kids and some teachers that had been treated for mental illness,
right.
But his mother had the firearms in the home, and he had access to the firearms. In fact, she thought it would help him if he was successful in target shooting and that kind of thing. Of course, she paid for that decision with her life because he killed her too. But every one of these cases, there's a little bit of difference here. So that's why you have to look at a lot of different areas for this to solve this problem if it ever gets solved.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think other than the guns themselves, there are a few commonalities among these a lot of these mass shootings. And I think going forward, that's why I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see more responses that have to do with the screening of the schools themselves, increased screening measures, because we see time and again that the students are still able to get those firearms. Once they get them, get them in their hands, they're able to get them into the schools.
Let's take one more call from Chris in Carlisle. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you. I was just thinking, ultimately, we need to have a broader-based discussion on these things. One is, why is it that schools are being attacked, and why is it that our culture has this tremendously increased level of violence? And so do we need to look at how we structure education in this country? It seems to me the larger the institution, the more impersonal it becomes, and the more impersonal it becomes, the easier it is to attack it and to vilify it. So I wonder about the discussion of, how we educate in this country, and also the just sort of cultural indulgence in violence with regards to video games, movie, media, that sort of thing, and what we do there to transform our culture.
Thank you very much for your call. There have been people who have pointed to the culture and video games, violent movies, violent TV shows. That's not going to change overnight, but at least something that is happening now. And you wonder, Brett, how long this will continue. At least there is a discussion going on in this country. After a school shooting, there's the shock. There's the what happened, why did it happen,
right.
What could we have done? This one feels different. Maybe it's because of the high school students being involved and demanding that something be done. But this, even though it's just a week later, this one feels different than the others.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, after Sandy Hook, I felt the same way.
Yeah, and you would think that kids are killed, like five-year-old kids are killed,
right,
that something would have been done.
I learned a lot after that, because I got into discussions with people, and I learned that, first of all, my perspectives were a little oversimple, but I also learned how resistant some people are on both sides of the spectrum to even listen to those on the other side. And I think one thing you really try to do here is have conversations that aren't merely partisan, or that don't just have two sides butting up against each other, and find that common ground. But unless people are willing to step outside of their comfort zones on the conversation. And I mean both people who are really gun rights supporters and also people who just are very stringent, we need to ban all guns types. Because ultimately, you can't have this conversation without having a gun conversation.
And that's one of the problems that we have had so far, is that there doesn't appear to be a gray area, even though you have people using language like, we need common sense gun laws. Well, one person's common sense is different than another person's right. common sense. We need people who have that serious conversation, and not just have a conversation, but there needs to be some action taken in some way. One more email. Susquehanna Township in Central Dauphin had a threat on Tuesday night. I was surprised that our schools did not close due to the threat. Now hearing that other schools have closed for what seems like similar threats, I really like to know more about why our school stayed open versus why other schools closed. Brett, that's not a question you can answer, but did you get a sense of how officials made decisions whether to close schools or not?
I know that in the case of Central York, the decision was made as in conjunction with local police and the school superintendent. So they're sort of coming to a decision together. And I think in that case, they really were working on the advice of Springettsbury Township and other police forces. So I think you're right. I can't really speak to that particular case because these are all a little bit different. And as the caller earlier said, sometimes these threats to us almost sound a little bit, not even specific. I know. I think one of the real markers for a threat is that it has to be specific. You have to have said you're going to do a specific thing. And if you give a time or place, that's even more specific. You can't merely say, well, I really just don't like this person. Because if that was the case, then, the Facebook comments section would be nonstop charges, right?
So, Brett, you did a comprehensive story on this, talked to a lot of different people. For those who didn't hear it on WITF, where can they read your story and learn more about this issue?
It is on WITF. It's on .org. It's on the Facebook page, which is a good way to interact with it as well. And it's also you can find it online on Twitter, and certainly listen to the sound story, which is on SoundCloud embedded in that story. So go to WITF.org and find it there, I think is probably the best way.
Brett Schultes, good job this week. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Well, I have to admit that there is no easy way to make this transition, folks, so bear with us here. That, what we're going to do next is talk about the Central Pennsylvania Spelling Bee. And we always have some staff members here where Ruth Keim, our Spelling Bee coordinator, provide some words, and we always have a lot of fun with this. There are a lot of laughs because some of the words, almost all the words, that we adults have a little bit of a problem with are actually words that the students, the Spelling Bee participants, get in the competition. And just because it shows you, first of all, how great these kids are and how difficult some of these words are, too. But the point I'm making is, we had a very serious topic in the first segment of the program, something that the entire nation is focused on right now. Breaks a lot of people's hearts. It makes a lot of people sad. It has a lot of people scared, worried, and trying to come up with solutions for a very serious problem. But there's no good way to make this transition, so we're just going to do it. Ruth Keim is WITF's and Central PA Spelling Bee Coordinator. Ruth, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning.
Now, we have three new participants.
Newbies. Yes.
That's right. Other years, WITF's news director, multimedia news director, Tim Lambert, has been here, along with WITF's Radio Pennsylvania news director, Brad Chrisman. And both of them took this day off.
Why do you think that happened?
I wonder exactly why they did take this day off. But anyway, we're happy to have some new blood. I won this last year. I'm the defending champion.
He is the defending champion.
You got one right last
year. That's right. That's what I was going to say. I got one right, and Brad and Tim got zero right. So that just shows you guys don't have a whole lot to overcome to become the champion here. But joining us, WITF's All Things Considered host Rachel McDevitt, WITF's Capital Bureau Chief Katie Meyer, and WITF's audio engineer and WITF music producer Jill Ulrich. I'm glad that you guys had the courage and the strength to come on and take a shot at this.
I'm taking you down, Scott.
Hey, that's not going to be tough, Rachel.
I'll say Scott waylaid me in a hallway yesterday to make me do this. Not like I had a choice.
So, Ruth, before we get into the actual competition, if that's what we want to call it, tell us about the Spelling Bee that's coming up this weekend here at WITS Public Media Center.
Well, let's start back to January 21st. We had close to 200 spellers from the 10-county area that we cover, and they came to take the written test, and out of that almost 200 kids, we have 34 coming back this Saturday, tomorrow, for the Grand Championship Spelling Bee. And from there, we'll take the champion to the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
And our Spelling Bee, when I say our, the Central Pennsylvania Spelling Bee, we have had some great champions that have done well in Washington at the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
They have done well. And it's kind of like when they get there and they see it and they get to feel the whole thing, they want to go back so badly. In fact, our champion from last year had said, I'm not going to do this again, Ruth, just so you know, until she got there and said, I'm going home and studying because I'm going back.
All right. So there are two parts now, and this is recent. It changed just recently, where there's vocabulary words and then spelling words.
And we give vocabulary words at the written test. We do not give them at the oral test. So I'm going to give you a round of, vocabulary words.
Why don't I start?
Okay, you can start.
Okay.
Your word, Scott, is kitsch. Does it mean artistic material thought to be low quality, or is it a round for three or more unaccompanied voices? Kitsch.
Can I have that in a sentence?
No.
Definition.
Now, wait,
this is just vocabulary. This is all they get.
Well, see, I thought I would push my luck here because you can have it in a sentence for spelling, right?
Well, you can ask me for the oral round, but this is strictly vocabulary.
Can I spell this word? Is it K-I-T-C-H?
It is spelled that way, but that doesn't do you any good.
I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't. Although there are some words. I'm not going to waste a lot of time here.
Okay.
So what are my two choices?
Artistic material thought to be low quality or a round for three or more unaccompanied voices.
I'm going to go with B.
I'm sorry. I was going to bring my bell, I forgot
Scott.
My bell.
Katie, you knew that.
I did know.
We all knew that.
Everyone knew that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So Scott doesn't get a point.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
It's okay, Scott.
All right.
Rachel.
Yes.
Your word is carmine. When would it be helpful to use carmine? Either when organizing a party or when making lipstick.
When making lipstick.
You are right. Oh. That's a rich red pigment. Good job.
So she's tied for the most last year that won.
That's right. But we're just getting started.
Yeah, really. Hey.
Okay, Katie, your word is telekinesis. Telekinesis, is it progress intelligently planned and directed, or is it the movement of an object without physical contact?
Movement of an object.
That it is correct.
That was easy. They're getting
but
easy
But I've also
ones.
Known all three of them.
Oh, wow. You're cocky, Katie.
Okay. Well, I came in here to win.
All right.
Okay, Joe, your word is contrapuntal. Does contrapuntal mean to be argumentative, or is it relating to two or more melodies combined into unified composition?
I'm going to say argumentative.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think she has harder words for guys, Joe.
I did them in line. I'm sorry. All right, we're going to the big
stuff
now.
All right, so
conspiracy.
Yeah, that's right. There's a conspiracy going on.
Rachel and Katie have one. Is that?
Yeah, they each have one.
They each have one.
Okay.
You guys need to move a little closer to your mics when you do this.
I thought I would start a little easy. So these are easier words, okay? So, Scott, your word is martingale. Martingale, it came from, they think, Arabic and then passed to English from French.
Who's they?
It's a noun. I don't know. Merriam-Webster, okay. I don't know. Anyway, do you know what it is?
No, but okay. I think I've seen the word before.
Yeah, it's a device for steadying a horse's head or checking its upward movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Martingale.
Correct. Good job.
Thanks. Woo! Okay.
All right, Rachel, your word is gimlet. Probably originally from Dutch, this word went through French before becoming English. It's a noun. It's a small woodworking tool with a screw point, grooved shank, and cross handle for boring holes. Gimlet.
Gimlet. G-I-M-L-E-T.
Correct.
Gimlet.
That's yay. Okay. See,
wow,
I said
Rachel,
it'd be
that
easy.
Was really easy.
I believe it's also a cocktail. So.
Oh,
it's true. That's how I know it.
Oh, so which side do you know the best? The tool or the cocktail?
I know the woodworking tool.
Okay, good.
Okay, Katie, your word is delicatessen. This word came from German, which formed it from a French word. It's a noun. It's a store where ready-to-eat food products are sold either to be taken out or eaten on the premises. Delicatessen.
D-E-L-I-C-A-T-E-S-S-E-N.
That's correct.
Oh, Katie's from New York.
That was good. That's right. Yeah, that's, I would have said D-E-L-I.
Yeah. No, we know our delicatessen.
Okay, Joe, your word is spikenard. Spikenard. This word
ridiculous.
Went from Latin to French before becoming English.
No, it didn't. That's not a word.
It's an East Indian aromatic plant made from dried roots and young stems. Just sound, spikenard.
Spikenard. Can I have the spelling?
No. That was a good try.
Hey, that is a good way to
give that a try. I'm going to go with S-P-I-K-E-N-A-R-D.
You're correct. Oh, yeah, there you go. See, that's good job.
But that does sound like a word you would call someone in a negative. Yeah. Yeah. Spikenard. Or no, it's
spikenard.
Spikenard.
Okay. Okay, Scott, your word is hibiscus. It's from Latin. It's a noun, and it's any plant or flower of a large, widely distributed genus of herbs, shrubs, small trees. Hibiscus.
H-I-B-I-S-C-U-S.
Yes, you're correct.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. See, these are easier.
I got to say, you've toned it down this year.
Well, I didn't want to scare these people away.
See, you guys. Okay, yeah.
But these are still from the word list.
Okay.
Just, I'm not making these up, so.
All right.
All right, Rachel, your word is nebulosity.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Nebulosity is a word from Latin, and it's a noun. It means the quality or state of being unclear, hazy, or indistinct. Nebulosity.
Nebulosity. N-E-B-U-L. O-U-S-I-T-Y?
I'm sorry. You put that U in there. If you hadn't put that in...
What if we were in Britain? Mm. Would it be right there?
Sorry, I can't speak for that.
Okay.
Why don't you just say, what if we were in Pakistan?
The British love the U's.
I know.
All right, Katie, your word is... Okay, there's two ways.
Oh, dear.
To pronounce it.
Ebernated... Or ebernated.
Oh, dear.
Ebernated or ebernated. The word is Latin. It's an adjective, and it means hard and dense like ivory.
Smart Talk is produced by WITF as part of our...
Smart Talk's produced by WITF. All right, so ebernated?
Ebernated or ebernated.
Okay. E-B-E-R-N-A-T-E-D.
I'm sorry.
How do you spell it?
E-B-U-R.
Oh, gosh.
You were so close. All right. Joe, here you go.
Okay.
Noctograph. Or noctograph.
Hmm.
Noctograph is the first part, is from Latin, and the second part is a Greek word. It's a noun, and it means a writing frame for the blind. Noctograph.
You know, a noctograph.
I know.
Again, just sound it out. Noctograph.
N-O... C-T-O-G-R-A. Do I go with the P-H or do I go with the F? I'm going to go with the P-H.
And you got it right.
Oh, wow.
Yay!
Joe, just one thing I've learned from doing this over the years, always go with the P-H.
Okay.
That's where they throw you off. Right? Right, Ruth?
No, I'm not. Not necessarily.
I'm telling you. Always go with the P-H.
I will go with the P-H, yes.
All right.
Okay. All right. All right, and we're going to get a little more difficult now.
Okay.
Your word, Scott, is eichornia or eichornia. It is a noun. It comes from a Prussian name. It's a genus of chiefly tropical floating aquatic herbs having rounded or broad clustered leaves with inflated leaf stalks.
Okay, so there's two pronunciations. What are they again?
Icornia or Ihornia.
Okay. Well, let's go with I-C-H-O-R-N-I-A.
You would have been right if you had put an E on the beginning of it. It's E-I-C-H.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I'm not unhappy with that.
Oh,
I'm
okay, almost, okay. That was really close.
Yeah.
Oh, Rachel, your word is Felsenmeer.
Oh, dear.
Felsenmeer is a noun. It comes from German. It's an assemblage of rock fragments completely mantling the surface and commonly present in mountainous regions. Felsenmeer.
Felsenmeer. F E L Z E N M E R E. Felsenmeer.
Not quite.
I didn't think I was right.
That was an. There's an S in there. F E L S E N M E E R. And it's E E R. It's German, so it's got that E E R. Yeah.
Well, that was close.
Those Germans, they spell things strange.
Katie, your word is Oricho. Oricho is a noun, comes from Italian, which formed it from Latin. It's the rough first coat of plaster in fresco painting. Oricho.
Oricho. A-U-R-I-C-C-O.
No.
No. I was thinking Italian. Sorry. They do the 2C thing. No.
They do the two, well, they do the 2Cs thing, but it's A-R-R-I-C-C-I-O.
Oh, dear.
Had it.
A lot of letters in there.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Bilharzia.
Mm-hmm.
Bilharzia is a noun. Again, this comes from German. And it's the infestation or with disease caused by liver flukes.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, what's a liver fluke?
Well, they don't sound like fun.
No, they don't.
And so the Bilharzia?
Bilharzia.
Bilharzia.
Today's Smart Talk, we focus on liver flukes.
Brought to you by Bilharzia.
It's a parasitic larva.
Yeah, we figured that.
It's a delicacy. Yeah.
In some countries, yeah.
Bilharzia. B-E-L... H-A-R-Z-I-A?
So close. Mm. It's B-I-L.
Oh.
Bilharzia.
All right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So what's our score here? Let's update the scoreboard with the...
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, it's tied at 2 apiece.
Oh, okay. All right.
We all have 2.
Wow.
You all have 2?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Equally mediocre.
And I should have had that kitsch thing at the beginning. I'm kicking myself over that.
That's now true. You would have. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to go back to... vocabulary.
Oh, we are.
For a tiebreaker, yeah. Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
You're running the thing here. I'm just watching the clock and pressing buttons.
Well, you kind of caught me off guard here. I wasn't totally... I thought we'd... That would be it. I thought, so I'm not ready with all my words. So. But I
don't
I can.
Have a whole lot of faith in us. Okay, the good news for you guys is... Brad and Tim were done by this time, and that's why she had so many of them. So, you know, that's good news that we're all tied at 2.
That's right. So this could
deuces
be...
Deuces are wild.
All right, these are going to be pretty simple. A person... Okay, Scott, this is yours.
Okay.
A person described as adamant is... Maybe I should ask you for the definition. See if we could do that.
No, don't do that. Just okay. Give me a...
Well,
I mean, I know it, but still, I just want to hear what your choices are.
A person described as adamant is either raging with anger or is inflexible or insistent.
I would say B.
You are correct. So that's... There you go.
Okay, 3-2.
3 for you. Okay.
No pressure, you guys.
It's getting heated.
All right. Rachel, what is a virtuoso? Is it either, I'm going to make this a little more tough, maybe you know that, a woman who excels in the technique of an art, or is it a man who excels in the technique of an art?
Ooh.
I think it's a man.
And I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Really? Is it,
Oh, you're right, it's virtuosa. I messed up. That's my mistake. See,
give it to the judges there.
This never...
In what language?
This never happens in script, so we're going to give her another word.
Okay.
All right. I know, Scott's upset.
I'm standing up and raising my arms in protest.
Scott's going crazy.
That was my mistake.
All right, go ahead.
All right. What is a fiasco?
Ooh.
Either
that last word you just got.
I think we're sitting in one right now.
Either it's a lightning strike or a ridiculous failure.
It is a ridiculous failure. Ridiculous
failure. I am so sorry, Scott.
Why don't we just ask her name?
R-A-C-H-E-L. Rachel.
You don't get a point for that.
All right.
All right. Katie.
All right. All right.
Let's see. A person described as intractable is either difficult to understand or not easily governed.
Hmm.
A person described as intractable is either difficult to understand or not easily governed.
It's gonna feel me getting this wrong.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to see the look on your face when you went hmm.
Hmm. Difficult
to understand, okay, or not easily governed.
Intractable. I may have been using the word intractable wrong. let's see. I think not easily governed.
You are correct.
Hey!
Yay! You got that one right. All right.
We Pennsylvanians are intractable.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Was everyone drug tested before this? I think Scott was doping.
If a Russian curler can dope, you know, who knows? Spellers, who knows?
I don't know.
All right, Joe. What is a Mikado? Is it a peasant or a Japanese emperor? A Mikado, either a peasant or a Japanese emperor.
You know what? Everyone else got these words that we all know.
Okay, think about this. Mikado, what is that?
Yeah, and do it.
That was so helpful.
Think about this.
And do it in less than 90 seconds.
Emperor or, I'm sorry, peasant?
A peasant or an emperor?
Emperor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yay. Wow. All right.
Okay, Ruth, we have about a minute, so you have to fly through here quick. Yeah, like a spelling.
We're doing it real quick?
We'll try.
All right. Okay. What is a rotunda?
Jeez.
Either a porch or a round building.
Round building.
Yes.
Okay.
Rachel, an MC, do they attend secondary school in France or does it host a television program?
It hosts a television program.
All right, Katie. Eiderdown is found in what animal? Either a weasel or a duck?
Duck.
All right.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Joe, I could give you one, but I'm not going to do it. I'll give you this. This is a great word. Something described as cockamamie is either extremely quick and agile or very silly and unreasonable.
Silly and unreasonable.
There you go. That's it.
Do we end in a tie?
Are we tied?
You tied.
This is the first time.
We're all winners.
You're all winners.
Okay at vocabulary.
So, Tim Lambert, our multimedia news directors, our boss. Uh-huh. You guys will have to remind him how many you got right and that we all ended in a tie.
And don't tell him that I went easy on you guys.
So, Ruth, one more time for the Central PA Spelling Bee and when it's on TV and all that.
It happens tomorrow at 11 here at WITF. It will be on Sunday. I believe it's 6 p.m. on Sunday, the next Friday, and then the next Sunday in the morning. So.
Well, I want to thank all four of you, actually, for being with us today.
Thank you.
I hope everybody had a lot of fun with that. Coming up on Monday, and to get serious again, we do have a history professor on talking about how students have made a difference in the past when they have made demands.
Smart Talk is produced by WITF as part of our mission to deliver relevant, high-quality programming. Support comes from Capital Blue Cross, which shares WITF's commitment to being a trusted resource in our communities. Capital Blue Cross. Live fearless. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC Pinnacle, who is studying a new surgical technique that allows surgeons to make repairs to the heart without having to open the chest cavity and while the heart is beating. Info at upmcpinnacle.com.